Welcome back to the Deep Dive. So today we're kind of setting aside those flashy travel guides. We want to get into something more residential.
Yeah, exactly. We're looking at Phuket, but through a specific lens, quiet luxury.
Right. The mission is really a deep dive into where that prestige, that high-end living, actually meets, well, peaceful, sustainable life for people wanting to live there, not just visit.
And this isn't just guesswork, which is what makes it interesting. We're drawing on some really deep practical knowledge here. Our whole analysis today, it's grounded in the experience of Ocean Worldwide. They're a luxury real estate agency, actually based right there in Phuket specifically.
Okay.
And they've been operating since 2004, so they've really seen the island evolve.
That real-world context is absolutely key, isn't it? Because we're not talking about tourist traps or short-term stays.
No, not at all.
We're looking at residency. And the director at Ocean Worldwide, Sandra O'Neill, she's apparently helped literally thousands of families and investors find their place over the years.
Mm-hmm.
That's the source of this insight. So that gives us like an incredibly informed perspective on these different neighborhoods. We're trying to unpack what really separates, you know, a fancy tourist spot from a genuine high quality luxury home.
I think it boils down to the infrastructure and maybe the intention behind the developments in each area.
Yeah.
Based on their market insights, we can sort of break down this residential luxury scene into maybe five main categories or vibes.
Okay, what are they?
Well, you've got Bangtao. Think lively, but still luxurious.
Right.
Then Kamala, which is more about tranquil elegance.
Right.
Surin, that's your benchmark for pure exclusivity, very polished. Naiharan is all about natural beauty, really quiet. And then something different, Phuket Town, for that cultural urban sophistication.
Okay, that's a great roadmap. Let's start with that first group then, the really well-known coastal spots, the ones where you get the amazing scenery and the top-tier amenities.
Yes, the premier enclaves. This is often where people look first if they want, well, everything close by. The luxury infrastructure is really mature in these places.
So, Bangtao Beach. The sources we looked at call it a real gem. Sounds like it strikes a tricky balance. It's got sophisticated lifestyle options. Maybe a bit more relaxed than Patong, for example.
Definitely more chill than Patong. But it's not just about nightlife. It's about building a functional international community. That's the key word. Functionality.
Oh, so?
Well, first off, it's one of Phuket's longest beaches, which naturally helps it feel less crowded. But the real draw for long-term, high-net-worth residents, it's the complete set of amenities.
Like what, specifically?
We're talking proper international schools, high-end fitness centers, central shopping areas like Porte de Phuket and Boat Avenue. It's really evolved. It's gone from just a resort area to a fully functioning upscale town that really caters to families and couples planning to, you know, actually live there.
Got it. So Bangtao is high-end convenience community focused. How does that stack up against Surin Beach? That one's often painted as the super exclusive polished retreat.
Yeah, Surin is playing a completely different game. If Bangtao is the thriving town center, Surin is, well, people call it the Beverly Hills of Phuket.
Okay.
It's all about refined elegance, maybe a bit of anonymity. It pulls in a very discerning crowd. Partly, yes, because of the beautiful clear water and fine sand, but mostly because it actively resists over-commercialization.
But wait, doesn't high demand usually bring commercialization right behind it? How does Surin manage to keep that exclusive feel?
It's partly land constraints, but also the type of development that's permitted. Surin is intentionally low density. You'll find exclusive boutiques, really sophisticated restaurants, but you won't see those huge hotel blocks or, you know, tons of public transport access like in other tourist hubs. The luxury here is curated. It's about privacy and discretion.
That difference, convenience versus curated seclusion, that's super helpful for anyone thinking about buying. But what if the top priority isn't amenities or even exclusivity, but just slowing down, finding real peace and quiet?
Right. Then we need to shift our focus a bit, maybe head slightly south, into what we could call the secluded sanctuaries. These places are for buyers who really put tranquility, natural beauty, and just a slower rhythm first.
Kamala Beach feels like a good example here. It gets labeled tranquil luxury. But if it's also seeing upscale development, how does it manage to keep that relaxed, serene vibe? Doesn't development bring traffic and noise?
It often does, but Kamala's geography helps. It's a large, beautiful bay, and development has been, let's say, less concentrated than elsewhere. You definitely find upscale villas, boutique resorts, sure, but the emphasis tends to remain on lower-profile, serene settings. Developers often seem to be building for unwinding, prioritizing space, protecting the views, keeping things quiet rather than just cramming units in.
So it's luxury, but relaxed luxury.
Exactly. It's kind of the ideal blend if you want nice things, but in a genuinely calm environment.
Okay, and if Kamala is serene elegance, where does Nyhaarn Beach fit? That one sounds like the real hidden gem, the properly natural spot.
Right.
Nyhaarn is definitely that. It's tucked away right down in the south, which immediately gives it a pace that feels, as the source says, a world away from the hustle and bustle.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. This area really calls to nature lovers, people seeking a genuinely quiet residential life.
Yeah.
It's less about the social scene, much more about soaking up that incredible scenery. Properties there are very sought after because they often have these modern designs that just blend beautifully with the mountain and sea views. You get that amazing indoor-outdoor living.
And then just north of Bang Tao, there's Layin Beach, described as sophisticated seclusion. What defines Layin?
Layin is really about pristine natural beauty. The beaches are incredibly long, wide, and noticeably less busy than places just south of it. What the sources highlight is that Layin attracts people looking for really spacious, expansive properties.
Mm-hmm.
Think seriously impressive villas.
Okay.
Often with jaw-dropping sea views, big private pools. It's this sort of elegant fusion of top-tier residential architecture and almost untouched nature. It's designed to minimize noise and just maximize your personal space.
Okay, so we've covered the main beach types. But Phuket offers more than just coastlines, right? Let's look at places catering to more niche lifestyles. Luxury defined by activity or culture, not just a sea view.
Yeah, we're stepping away from the classic beachfront resort idea now.
Yeah.
And this is where Phuket's diversity really shines. What's quite fascinating is Chulalong Bay. It caters almost specifically to a wellness and water activity crowd.
Oh, interesting. How so?
It's generally a more laid-back area, but it's known for its marina life. It's the real hub for boat owners, sailing fans,
yeah,
anyone who really wants easy access to the Andaman Sea.
So it's a community built more around doing things, around health, not just beach time.
Absolutely. Chulalong has a really strong wellness scene. You see loads of yoga studios, specialized gyms, healthy cafes popping up everywhere. It mixes local Thai life with these specific expat-friendly spots, creating this active, social, yet healthy vibe, all centered around the calm waters of the bay itself.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, for a complete shift, let's move inland, away from the water entirely, to Phuket Town. The cultural heart. How does that fit into the luxury picture? It seems quite different.
It is very different. This is for buyers who value culture, history, a vibrant street scene, maybe more than constant beach access. The Phuket Town is instantly recognizable, right?
Mm-hmm.
That unique Sino-Portuguese architecture, the charm of the old town.
Can you explain that architecture briefly? Sino-Portuguese.
Yeah.
What does that actually look like?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's a blend from the colonial era, from the island's tin mining boom days.
Mm-hmm.
Think narrow, deep shop houses, often with really high ceilings. You see colorful Portuguese tiles, decorative facades, those distinctive wooden shutters with louvres. It really tells a story.
Yeah.
The luxury here isn't a massive private pool. It's having that history and culture literally on your doorstep.
And the sources mention it's becoming a hub for artists, entrepreneurs, digital nomads, a different kind of community.
Precisely. Mm-hmm. It offers this vibrant urban lifestyle, creative little pockets, chic cafes. It's got a real buzz.
Mm.
And a big plus for a certain type of luxury buyer, the price point. Generally, housing in Phuket Town is more affordable than those high-demand coastal areas. So you get this sophisticated, authentic urban experience, which, ironically, in a place known for beaches, becomes a kind of luxury in itself.
Okay, fascinating. Now let's zero in on the areas that are almost purely about private residential living, ultimate retreats. You mentioned Pasak and Maikau.
Yes. These two are basically engineered for exclusive private homes, often set back from the main public beaches. Pasak is interesting. It's called a hidden gem.
Why hidden?
Because it's incredibly close to major amenities, particularly Bang Tao and the Laguna Complex. But it somehow stays remarkably quiet.
What's the Laguna Complex? Why is that important context for Pasak?
Ah, right. Laguna Phuket is this huge, very exclusive, integrated resort area. It's got multiple high-end hotels, golf courses, spas, restaurants, luxury villas. It's a self-contained world. So being near Laguna means Pasak residents have all those premium services, golf, dining, world-class facilities practically next door, but without living inside the resort bustle.
Gotcha.
Pasak homes really focus on quiet living, that great indoor-outdoor flow people want, big gardens, private pools. It's like having the best of both worlds. Service convenience nearby, but maximum residential privacy at home.
And Maikau, that sounds like it takes tranquility to another level.
Maikau is where you head for serious ultimate peace. It's one of Phuket's northernmost beaches, and it's still very undeveloped compared to others.
Right.
It's prime territory for really large, high-end private villas. We're talking expansive grounds, often with direct, uncrowded beach access. Because it's so low density, it's the ultimate escape if privacy is absolutely your number one thing. Mm. And because those large plots are getting rarer, the investment potential there is also mentioned as being very strong.
Okay, makes sense. Lastly, let's touch on the South Rawai and Prom Thep Cape. They seem to offer a more grounded, maybe authentic feel. What's Rawai's appeal for long-term residents?
Rawai definitely offers a more authentic slice of local culture. It's got a very relaxed atmosphere, plus a really well-established expat community, so it feels lived in. Mm-hmm. Its beach isn't really for swimming, but it serves a vital role as the main island hopping hub. It's the launch pad for boat trips to nearby islands like Ko Racha, Coral Island.
Ah, okay. Practical.
Very practical. And it's famous for its fresh seafood markets right by the water, lots of seafront restaurants. It balances that daily convenience with a strong sense of local community and calm.
And nearby Prom Thep Cape just adds that wow factor.
Exactly. Prom Thep Cape is iconic for its sunsets for a reason. It delivers absolutely breathtaking panoramic views, that dramatic coastal scenery. While it definitely draws tourists for the view, the residential areas around it offer this serene backdrop. People living there get that natural grandeur daily, the cliffs, the sweeping ocean, without being caught up in, say, nightclub noise or heavy traffic.
You know, this whole analysis, especially knowing it comes from the deep experience of people like Sandra O'Neill and the team at Ocean Worldwide, it really highlights that Phuket isn't just one kind of luxury, it's a whole spectrum.
Precisely. You've got the pure anonymity and polish of Surin right next to the functional vibrancy that families need in Bang Tao, and then the completely different urban depth of Phuket Town. The island's clearly moved far beyond just being a quick holiday spot. It's a serious contender for setting up a permanent, high-quality home, whether your priority is being connected or completely secluded.
So when you listen to all this, given the sheer variety from those historic shop houses in town to massive private estates up in Maikau, the real question becomes personal, doesn't it? Are you looking for luxury that's active, social, packed with amenities? Or is your definition of luxury more about ultimate tranquility, really getting away from the crowds? Which of these quite specialized neighborhoods truly aligns with your ideal pace of life?
And for anyone listening who's ready to, you know, explore these options more deeply, maybe look at specific villas or properties available in these areas, we strongly recommend checking out the source directly. Go to oceanwwp.com. That's oceanwwp.com.
That sounds like a really valuable resource if you're seriously considering making a move to that quieter, more residential side of Phuket.
Definitely. And maybe here's a final thought to chew on, kind of building on that contrast we discussed. We know Batong Beach, right? It's the total opposite of quiet luxury. Intense, exciting, but it's apparently incredibly popular for rental income, for investment, purely because of the high tourist volume.
Right.
So does the best potential for immediate investment return always clash with finding genuine, quiet residential luxury? It's an interesting tension, something to think about when you're deciding where to put down roots versus where to maybe just put your capital on the island.